So I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, if you've got the page for that. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say the resurrection's already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter, that means from the common use, the ordinary use, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now please keep that passage open. We're going to be looking at it together. Sorry. Let's start again, shall we? Do you want to go back to chapter 2, verse 14? Chapter 2, verse 14. We'll speak to the person who did the slides later. So do you want to have a look at chapter 2, verse 14, which is on page 1196, and like chapter 3, verse 14 is as well. Thank you, Paul, for trying to get our attention to that. I'll read it again. It'd be slightly less confusing if you're actually following the right passage. Chapter 2, verse 14. Okay. Sorry about that. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter, from the common use, will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And that's the word that hopefully you follow this time. Sorry about that. Yeah, good. We're together. God has made everything there is in the universe. Everything in heaven, everything on earth. God organizes everything there is. There is nothing that happens apart from him. God knows everything there is. No one can suggest a new idea to God so that he will say, "Oh, I hadn't thought of that." God is at work in the universe. He created the universe by speaking. By his words, everything exists. And he keeps the universe going by speaking. We're looking at a passage here from the Bible which shows us about that God and shows us about ourselves. Someone who's been here before recently, what kind of a book is this? Let's get our orientation. What kind of a book are we looking at? Where is it a poem? It's got teaching, but what sort of book are we reading? We're not reading a poem. We're not reading an instruction manual, Mark. It's a letter. Who's it from? from Paul, and who's he writing to? It's in the name, it's to Timothy. It's Paul's second letter to Timothy. And it's he's writing, Timothy's a church leader, and it's at a time like today when the teaching about Jesus is often unpopular. And in some churches, people are resisting the teaching about Jesus. So Jesus has died, risen from the dead, gone back to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, and Timothy's living in that time. And Paul is giving him, in his letter, instructions. Verse 14, keep reminding God's people of these things. The things that Paul's told him about is that Jesus has come into the world to save us. That's the point of Christmas. Jesus didn't come to the world for a visit because he's interested to find out what it was like. He didn't come into the world to show us how we could do better. He came into the world to save us. And as Paul has said in the first chapter, he saved us not because of good things we had done, but because of his kindness. Keep reminding the people of these things. The Bible is saying here, we don't need to have lots of fresh experiences of new things that we never knew. We need to keep having fresh teaching of things we already knew. Hear it again and again. That's one of the reasons why in Dagenham Parish Church, every Sunday, I had a bit of a disaster today with our slides, but we did get right that we admitted our sin. And we do that every week. Now, we do that early on in the church meeting, and those of you who come late sometimes miss that and miss a very important thing that we do week after week. It's important to be reminded of that thing. Keep reminding. Then Paul says, warn them before God. What is the danger to avoid? I'm looking for someone to tell me the answer. What is he warning them against? Go on, Grace, big voice. Yeah, quarrelling. I'm afraid I don't have pictures today. I've got words. He warns them against quarrelling about words. We use the phrase in English, nitpicking or splitting hairs, arguing about different, you know, just small ideas, being argumentative. And what effect does that have on people, does it say? What happens when people listen to quarrelling about words? It's in the Bible. It ruins them. Okay, so let's have, I think I've got this, yeah, on the back here. Quarrelling about words ruins people. So Timothy, the church teacher, is not to do that. Now, Paul wants people to understand. He's not saying that we don't think. He's not saying that we don't talk about what things mean in the Bible. But he's saying, don't join in with people who just want to argue all the time about the details we can't really know. I mean, what are angels doing at the moment? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But some people want to spend all their time talking about that. What are our bodies going to be like after we die and we come alive again? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but some people want to spend all their time talking about that. And what happens if the church, the Bible teacher, is talking with those people? What happens to other people who are listening? It ruins them. Because they're not hearing the main message. They're just getting confused about these ideas that are uncertain, and they've missed the main message about Jesus. So to me, the church teacher, like Timothy, we might think as a church, oh, we're doing great. We're looking at these really interesting, special ideas. Other churches don't look at what angels are doing. Other churches aren't talking about what happens after we die and come to life. But actually, we're missing the main point. And we're being ruined if we do that. We need to keep hearing the main message. And we should remember God. Verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God. Remember, God can see how you're working, he says to the church teacher. Remember God. That's a thought bubble to say. He's to keep thinking about God. Remember, God sees how you're working. And what should Timothy want God to see? Does it say in verse 15? When God looks at Timothy's work, what should Timothy want God to see? Sorry? Yeah, that he's an approved worker. Yeah, he's doing his work correctly. You know, he's not going to be going for one of those work reviews where he's getting told, you might not be here next year. He's wanting to be an approved worker, and an approved worker is someone who does what? Verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth, to properly teaching the Bible, carefully teaching the main message. There's a number of places the Bible says that Bible teachers need to work hard. So to make the Bible clear. In fact, we're to make it so clear that you come to church on a Sunday and you think, what's he spend his week doing? It's so obvious. Now, ideally, sometimes my sermons are like that, that they're so clear that you think, what's the point of having a vicar? Because it's so obvious. But that only comes by hard work. Do your best, in verse 50, do your best to do that. That means it's really important. Yeah, do your best to do this. And so some people will think, this is a really strange thing to say, that it's so important that we take care about our words. Don't quarrel about words. Work really hard at using the right words. Why is that so important? Well, it's because God is a person, and people interact through words. So we want to hear God's words. So we must take very great care about the words. So when we think about God like this, you know, when we have God in mind, we will have right teaching, because we're thinking about him, we're concerned that we'll teach his word properly. And that's true for parents who are teaching your children at home. You need to be careful to teach them rightly. It's true if a person is able to preach to thousands in a stadium. They need to think carefully about what they're teaching. It's true for everything in between, the great numbers or the small numbers. We think about God, then we'll be careful to give right teaching. And those who were here last week, you saw the advert we had for the training ground, to help us understand the Bible and teach it. And Rob Riak came to the front and said how much that had helped him teaching his children, teaching Sunday school, talking with people at work, in all his thinking about the Bible. So please do think about that if you've not done it. So quarrelling about words, don't do that, it ruins people. Think about God. And if we're thinking about God, you know, thoughtful of what he cares about, we're going to take care to teach properly. Because verse 16, there's something else we've got to stay away from. What is that? Godless chatter. Avoid godless chatter. That's the chat of people who don't bother thinking about God. And what does it say will happen to people who talk like that? Yeah, more and more ungodly. Their lives will have less and less God in them. So I'll put this phrase up. Godless talk spreads. And it spreads in someone's life. You see, if one part of your life is saying things that are not true about God, that's going to start to affect other parts of your life. It's going to affect the way that you live. So if you choose to say no to some of God's teaching, no to something that the Bible is very clear about God, then that's going to start to affect how the rest of your life goes. It will spread. It will spread in another way. It spread through our lives. What does verse 17 say about how it will spread? Yeah, it's going to spread like gangrene to other people. Gangrene is a horrible thing that happens. It's a sickness where a bit of your body dies because the blood doesn't get to it or it's infected. And then that death spreads into other bits of the body. So I might get gangrene in my hand, and it'll then affect my arm and then the top of my arm. And if it's not treated, it carries on spreading. And that's what Paul's saying. If we've got godless talk, we're thinking, not thinking of God, it'll spread in our lives, but it'll spread in our church. It'll go from one church to another church. That's the danger of wrong words about God. Godless talk spreads. And then he's got an example of some people who are doing that, who get it wrong. In midweek groups, Tuesday, Wednesday night, we'll look at them and think a bit more about that. But look what he says about them, verse 18, about these two guys. They've departed from the truth. Departed means they've left it. They've left it behind. They've gone somewhere else. They're no longer teaching the truth and listening to the truth. So if that can happen, if Bible teachers like that can depart from the truth, if wrong teaching about God can affect our lives and affect our church and affect other churches, what can we do? Now, how can we keep safe as a church? And the answer's in verse 19, that we trust God. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. So that's what we can do if we're Christians and we're worried about this godless talk spreading. We trust God. God knows who are his. God has got them, and nothing is going to take them out of his hands. God has got them, and nothing is going to take them out of his hands. So we're not overcome with worry about the fact that wrong teaching about God affects our lives and affects churches, because God has got his people, and nothing can take them away. So trust God. But it means we need to do something. End of verse 19. I'll read the whole of 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. People who trust Jesus must stay away from this wrong teaching. So we trust that God knows who's really his, and we trust God, and we stay away from this wrong teaching. Okay, you can see this coming from the Bible. Quarreling about words just ruins people who listen, because it's stopping them from listening to the main message. So what must the Christians do? Remember God and go for right teaching about the main message about God. Godless talk spreads. It spreads in our lives. It spreads through our churches. What can we do? We trust God that he is holding on to the people who belong to him, and that he's right when he says to leave behind that godless teaching. An apple has a picture. What's he talking about in verse 20? What's this picture, this image that he uses? Where's he taking us to? It's a house, isn't it? And what's in the house? Different sorts of articles, it says. Different articles. Some are special. Let me read verse 20. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some are for common use. So I didn't have any gold and silver articles, but I've got some more ordinary ones. Here we go, from my house. Ooh. There you go. Here's quite an ordinary one. My bin. Children, what do I put in my bin? What goes in there? Rubbish. Yeah, that's for ordinary things. But here I've got my picnic box. What goes in my picnic box? Yeah, food. Nice food, hopefully, if it's a special picnic. What have we got? We've got packs of crisps. We've got fizzy pop. And a lovely chocolate biscuit. That's not very healthy, is it? That's like what the adults have on a Thursday morning. So that's a container with things, good things in it. This is an ordinary container with dirt in. I've got another container down here. What do you keep in that? That's a very ordinary thing, isn't it? It's a potty for children to do their toileting on. Okay, you don't want to keep that. But you want to have one in the house. You want to have one because of what happens in it. But it's not special. Whereas you might have, this is another item from the house. That's for my special drink. That's a nice glass. That's a vessel in the house. This is something in the house. We want them both, but for very different uses. Yeah? So Paul says, what does he tell Timothy he has to do in verse 21? Those who cleanse themselves from the latter, from being like a bin or a potty, to being like a picnic basket or a cup, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful for the master. Well, how's he going to do that? What does that mean? What does Paul expect Timothy to do? Well, he tells us in the next verse. It's to do with evil desires. Hang on, I need to stretch up a bit. Verse 20, let me read 22 to the end. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. So, Paul says to Timothy, you want to get rid of the ordinary ways, the common ways, and have the special ways. And how's he to do that? Verse 22. What's he to avoid? Verse 22. Sorry, Shadrach. Yeah, evil desires. What particular evil desires? The evil desires of youth. Okay, that doesn't mean that old people don't have evil desires. We know we do, those of us who are old. But young people have got their own evil desires. What do they look like? Verse 23, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. You see, young people often love to argue. They want to win arguments. And that doesn't make them good teachers. Young men especially, you know, they love to quarrel and have arguments about things. Some of them, they just like to have an argument just because they want to have an argument. You know, they don't want to find out, or they don't want to teach. They like arguing, and that's an evil desire. And he's not to be like that, because what do evil desires result in? Verse 23. What do those arguments result in? What do they produce? Quarrels, yeah. So, evil desires end up with quarrels, which is what we had about started at the beginning. Quarrels, arguing about things. And that's not Timothy's way, if he's going to be a servant of God. Verse 24, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. So not resentful means you're not cross and grumpy with people when they do something you don't like. Let me move this up. So if I do something you don't like, you might resent me and be resentful. But if I'm forgiving, or you're forgiving of me, that means you don't resent when I do something you don't like. And if someone does those things, if someone's a church teacher like Timothy and they're kind and they're forgiving, then that means they'll be able to teach. So Timothy's saying here, what am I doing wrong? My shirt, sorry. Just get a bit of advice from my family. When Paul says you need to be able to teach, he's not saying you've got to know all the ideas and be good at communicating and take your shirt in, but he's saying you've got to be a kind person, a forgiving person, then people will listen to you. You've not scared them off by all your arguing and all your anger with them. You're able to teach because they're still here and they're getting on with you. And whilst they're teaching, because they're not following the evil desires of youth, they're not being angry or argumentative, but they're being kind and forgiving, they're hoping that something's going to happen. What are they hoping that will happen? Verse 25. Yeah, they are hoping that, again, we're back to trusting God, that God will help that person to change their mind. So when I was a younger man, and lots of younger men, we think, if we are clever enough at making an argument, or if we are strong enough in arguing, people will change their minds. And that's not the way Christian servants should be. Christian servants should kindly, patiently explain the truth and trust that God will make people change their minds. Because we're trusting the one who has made all things and rules all things through his word and loves people and wants them to come to relationship with him. Not because it's about us being angry or clever or forceful. So, what are the practical effects for us as a church? We've got Bibles on every seat because we want to have right teaching because we're thinking about God. We trust God. It's not, you know, you will have bad teachers going between churches, and at the end of the day, we're only safe not because of a good teacher, but we're only safe because of God. God holds on to us, and we can trust that we're safe with Him. We want to have teachers, though, who are kind and forgiving, because then we're in good relationships with them. They're able to teach. And they're trusting God that as they teach, and we're trusting God that as we get taught, God is going to help us to change our minds to follow in His ways. I've said a lot. Children, you've been so patient. Thank you, because I've said a lot. But the main thing we're saying is we have the Bibles in church to read the Bibles. We're careful to listen, to teach. And maybe one more thing is to say, pray for those who teach. Pray that the teachers in our church are careful teachers, because God uses them to strengthen our faith. Let's have 2 seconds of quiet. I'll just move the bin out of the way, and then I'll come back and lead us in a prayer. Okay, let's ask God for help. Almighty God, you are the creator who has made the world by speaking. And you still speak to us in the Bible. We know you speak to us so that we can know you. And so it's so important, we understand it's so important that we are careful in how we listen and careful in how we speak about you. Please keep our church safe from godless talk, from quarrelling, from people liking to have arguments. Keep us safe from that. Please make us a church instead where we listen carefully, we help each other to listen, we're glad to hear from you. We need you, please, to help us to change our minds. We need you to give us repentance because there's things that need to change and we find that hard. So please continue to be kind to us here in Dagenham Parish Church. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.